Give you what I've learned, having had in my home four boys and all of them raised to maturity, married, families, having been a preacher for well over 40 years, I ought to have some really wise stuff to say. And as I think about my life, where I've been and what I've done, I couldn't ask for more. I really don't have any ambition for more in the sense of money. I'd like to have a lot of money because I enjoy giving it away. And I mean that from my heart. I like to give money away. I don't have much, but whatever I can, I like to get it so I can give it away. Because I learned that no statements of Jesus are without merit. And Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I honestly believe that's true because I feel that way about it. I've been a lot of places and I don't care whether I go any more places or not. I probably will, but it's not a burning desire in me because I've been to these places that people talk about. You know, Paris and all that stuff. And I guess it's because I'm ignorant. But there's some nice stuff to see, but I don't really... You know, if I had life to live over again, I wouldn't care that much about going to these places. Got to preach a lot of places, and I'm grateful for that. But the thing that I would like to be, if I could have an opportunity to live my life again, I'd like to be a better person. That'd be my whole ambition, to be a better man. I wouldn't worry about money. I wouldn't worry about going places and doing things and all that. And that wasn't a big ambition with me, but I'd like to be a better man. I'd like to be more honest. I would like to have been a better husband and a better father. That would be what I would do over if I could, and God would give me grace. I would be a better person. And they say it's you're never too old to change, and I hope that's true, because I'd like to live the rest of my life trying to be a better person, a good man. A man in whom there's no guile. That's my ambition, is to be a good man, not just for my sake, but for the sake of the Lord. So if you wonder what Brother Penn wants to be, I want to be a better man in the work of our Lord. I know that's not very profound, but it's my honest feeling this morning as I stand before you to share the Word of God. I'd just like the rest of my life to continue to do what God's called me to do and to be a better person. Now to the book of John chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 31. And several other verses of Scripture. So open your Bible to John chapter 5. And we'll look at four witnesses that witness to the fact that God sent Jesus Christ. Jesus constantly affirmed to the Jews especially that God had sent him. In the same chapter, in verse 23, the Bible says that he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. In verse 30, there's a similar statement. But the will of the Father which hath sent me. In verse 36, it continues. Jesus said, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. Now here's a man who's 30 plus years old, and he is among his own people, the Jewish nation, and he is saying, the Father, my Father, has sent me to you. God has sent me to you. And to the Jews, this is either spiritual truth that will bring great joy to them, or it's blasphemy. There's no other way to look at it. When Jesus said, God the Father has sent me, these people should have rejoiced. They should have said, Hosanna, glory to God, Messiah is here. Or they should have said, this is blasphemy. Let us take up stones and stone him. Jesus said, now I understand that you don't have to believe me because of what I say. But I want to show you four witnesses that will testify to the truth that God hath sent me. And you say, well, those are very important truths to the Jewish people, because if Jesus hadn't been sent of God, then he is an intruder, he is a fake Messiah, and so they should have put him to death. But what does that have to do with me, since I am not a Jewish person? I am a Gentile living 2,000 years past the incident that we're looking at. Well, if Jesus was an imposter, he's not your Savior. If God didn't send Jesus Christ, then all of us are in a lot of trouble this morning. In other words, if he is a false Messiah to the Jews, he's a false Savior to us. And what are these witnesses that Jesus speaks of when he states, I don't ask you to believe what I say, because I understand that you're not obligated to believe the witness of one person. In verse 33, we see that Jesus invokes the witness of John the Baptist. In verse 36, we see that Jesus invokes the works that he has done. In verse 37, he invokes God the Father as a witness that he has sent his Son Jesus. And in verse 39, there is the witness of the Scriptures. And when we use that word in this context, we know that it is speaking of the Old Testament, because the New Testament had not been written at this particular time. So Jesus is saying the Old Testament Scriptures are witnesses that I am God's Son, His only begotten Son, and that He has sent me to you. In verse 31, Jesus said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He's basing that statement upon the Jewish system that demanded more than one witness. Deuteronomy 17 and 6, we read these words, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses, let every word or statement be established. Jesus is conscious of the law and respected its demands. And he said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. And by that he meant, you don't have to believe what I say if I'm the only one that's saying it. It is not established as truth. his witness would be truth, but just his witness alone, his enemies would not have to accept it as such. So Jesus said, I realize so far that I'm saying of myself, God sent me. And you have a reason to be skeptical of one man's witness, of one man's testimony, especially since he's testifying and witnessing of himself. But Jesus said, and I bring your attention now to verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. And the first person that Jesus calls their attention to is John the Baptist. And he said, I realize, and you realize, and you know for sure that what John the Baptist has said is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. He is calling to memory the fact that the Jewish people went out to see John the Baptist, and they brought John the Baptist before them, and they questioned John the Baptist. And Jesus said, you realized that John was a person who told the truth. Jesus said, I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. Now what he's saying is, who I am doesn't depend upon another man witnessing, because I am God's Son, and God did send me. And a man's witness won't make these facts true or false. I want you to remember that just because John the Baptist witnessed that I had been sent of God doesn't mean that that is what makes it the truth. What makes it the truth is that I have told you the truth. And it is the truth. And John the Baptist testified that it was the truth. But I don't need a man's witness in order for me to be God's son, nor to be sent of God. John said, for a while you rejoiced in this burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season, and the word there is hour, which means a brief period of time. You were willing for a brief period of time to glory in the light and the truth of John the Baptist. But just because you rejoiced in the truth of John the Baptist and it was just a flash. The light was here for a brief period of time, and then the light went out. And so John's testimony was bright and brief, and you understand and you accepted this man as a man who told the truth. You accepted him as a prophet of God. And John testified that God sent me. That's witness number one. Is Jesus God's only begotten Son? Is Jesus Christ Messiah? Is Jesus Christ the only man who could come to this earth and die and pay the price for our sins? Is he? Or was he an imposter? Well, the greatest man other than Jesus Christ that's ever lived on this earth, John the Baptist, said he's the Son of God, and God sent him. Now, Jesus said there's a greater witness. And this greater witness, as he states in verse 36, are works. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Now let's put that into some perspective for our consideration and understanding. I can tell you that I'm a saved man. I can tell you that I've been born again. I can tell you that I have trusted in Jesus Christ, and that I have a new nature. I can tell you that. And then someone else can say that. My wife could tell you, yes, John's been saved. Yes, he's been born again. Yes, he's a man who has trusted in Jesus. I've heard him say that many, many times. We could have my witness. We could have her witness. But what is the greatest witness that I am a born-again person? Is it not my works? Are they not greater? Are they not more effective? When a person says, oh, I know Jesus Christ, and I love Jesus Christ, but they live a life of sin. They have little concern for others. They have no concern for the church. Their works deny what they witness with their mouths. It's called hypocrisy. And Jesus is saying, I've told you that I'm the Son of God and that God sent me. And John the Baptist told you that I am God's Son and that God sent me. But I have a greater witness than myself and a greater witness than John the Baptist. And the greater witness that I have is or are the works that I do. What were the works that Jesus did? He healed the sick of every sort. He raised the dead from the grave. He turned water to wine. He'll be walking on water. All of these miracles were the works of Jesus. And they were greater in their impact in proving that Jesus had been sent of God than the testimony of himself or the testimony of John the Baptist. Jesus said in verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Jesus said, I am a part of a greater plan. I am in this thing that God himself has designed, and I'm going to see it through to the finish. And seeing this through to the finish and all the things that I've done, and I'm sure Jesus is saying, keep this in mind, and when you see me on the cross, then when you see the empty tomb, then when you hear Simon Peter preach on the day of Pentecost that I've been raised from the dead, remember that I'm a part of a great plan of God, the plan of redemption. And this is a great witness to the truthfulness of Jesus when he said, the Father hath sent me. Then in verse 37, Jesus states, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. Jesus said that God has evidenced himself to this generation. And when it states you have not heard, he's not saying you did not audibly comprehend words being said. Because when Jesus was immersed, the Bible tells us that a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So there was an audible speaking by the very voice of God. And no, they had not seen the shape of God, a word that means external appearance or form. No man has seen God in a form, because God has no form. God has no shape other than the shape of a man, and the man is Jesus. Jesus is God morphosed. Jesus is God in the form of anthropos, a man. And when you see Jesus, you have, in essence, seen God, but you have not seen God the Father. You have seen God the Son. Now, if you understand all this perfectly, you will probably need a psychiatrist tomorrow. I can preach it and believe it, but I don't know how it works, because I am a finite creature trying to comprehend infinite facts and truth. So I struggle greatly philosophically, but I don't struggle greatly theologically, because there's no difficulty in believing that God is God and that He sent His Son Jesus. And Jesus is the pressed out form of God Almighty. I have no problem believing that. I just have difficulty comprehending how it is done. Now, Jesus said, God has spoken in His Word, and I know that you don't believe God's Word because you don't believe me. Because if you believe God's Word, you would believe me, but you haven't heard what God has said. And since you haven't heard what God has said, then you don't believe in me. Some sort of logic to what Jesus is saying, in the sense that we're able to understand that. If a person reads something and they believe it, they react to it. And they react to it according to the truth that's presented in that which has been written. People say, I've read the Bible, but I don't believe there's a God. Well, you're not reacting to the truth that you read in the same way that others have who have read it correctly. You say, I've read the Bible, but I don't believe that Jesus was sent of God. Then you're reading words, but you have not heard what God has said. And this is what Jesus means. You have not His Word abiding in you, for whom He has sent, him you believe not. Now, in verse 39, Jesus says there is another witness, and that is the witness of Scripture. The Jews were searching the Bible. In our King James, it states, search the Scriptures. It can be translated, you are searching the Scriptures. Several translations bear that kind of testimony. Knox said, you pore over the Scriptures, and the Jews literally did study the Word of God constantly. The Scriptures here, of course, in this particular context, are the Old Testament writings. They thought that salvation was to be had by intensive Bible study. Salvation is in the God of the Bible and not in the Bible. You cannot be saved by reading the Bible. You can learn how to be saved by reading the Bible. You can't get somewhere by reading a road map. You have to follow its directions. And you can't be saved by reading the Bible. There's so many people have the idea, well, I read my Bible. Well, that's good, but what do you do with what you learn? Unless you, by faith, take what you learn from the Bible and use it, put it into action, then you've just read words and you're no better off than you were before. You know, we see a picture of a godly grandmother sitting in her rocking chair reading her Bible. And to us, that's some sort of picture of a person who's well in contact with God. But as one man used to say at Cave City, she could be meaner than a one-eyed water moccasin. Now, I learned a new saying that I really like today. I like I learned it a couple of days ago, and I've not used it yet. It doesn't have anything to do with a sermon, but I'm going to say it because it means so much to me. In the kingdom of the blind, a one-eyed man is king. Like I said, I just like it. I like that. It's not scripture, but I just read that in a philosophy throwaway book, and it just stuck with me. I like that. I suppose in the kingdom of the legless, a one-legged man would be king too, or ears, whatever. Reading the Bible's good. It's wonderful. And the Jews were searching the scriptures intensively, but they were rejecting the message of the Bible. And the acceptance of the truth is what makes you better, not just reading the words. Jesus then told them that they did not honor him, that they would not come to him. The scriptures testified of him, and you will not come to me that you might have life. You can't go to the Bible and find eternal life. You go to the Bible and find the way to eternal life, and you find that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In verse 41, Jesus said, I receive not honor from men. That is, my passion is to be honored of God, not men. Now, look at verse 44. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now, that was their problem. They wanted honor of men, and Jesus said, I'm not here to be honored of men. I'm here to do God's will and to be honored of my Father. We have too many people today in the pulpit who are seeking to be honored of men. We need prophets of God who will preach the truth and seek honor from God. There are too many churches today that are seeking to be honored by men. We ought to seek to be honored of God, not honored of men. And that's what Jesus is saying here. I'm not currying your favor. I'm not seeking your honor. I want to be honored of God Almighty, who is my Father and who has sent me. Jesus said, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. And the word accuse here literally means to go into a court of law and point the finger at a person and accuse them. And Jesus said, I'm not going to accuse you folk at the judgment. It'll be Moses who accuses you, because Moses has written of me. And you trust in Moses, and you ought to be trusting in me. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Jesus spoke these to defend his statement. God has sent me. I am his son. If you believed what Moses has written, if you believe what your eyes have seen at the temple when the animals have been slain and the blood has been applied, then you would believe me, that I am God's son. Four witnesses that God sent Jesus Christ. They're not the only ones. There are many others.